Welcome to the Trevor Turnbull Show, where you'll hear vulnerable, honest stories that will inspire you to embrace your mess and live your best life. Welcome to the show, everyone. My guest today is David Muntner, who is a repeat guest on the show. You might remember him from a previous episode that I did where I titled it Mother Effin' Visionaries. And that was such a fun conversation to have with David. So David is somebody that I've known for about 3-4 years now. And I hired him to support me in writing my about page at the time. You know, it was like, man, I know I have this story, but I just don't know if I can really write it myself. There's a feeling of, you know, worthiness and imposter syndrome that was coming up. And I was like, can you help me? And, you know, at the time he was kind of like a freelance copywriter. So we did that work together and it was an amazing experience. And it actually became a very foundational piece of that next evolution of me, like over the last three, 4 years. And then, you know, I hired David again and his team last September when I was at a point where Danielle Grant and I were collaborating and we were talking lots and we were doing live streams on LinkedIn and just like letting unfold what was meant to unfold without really knowing what it was. I still remember we were doing LinkedIn lives back in like June, July, August last year of 2021 being like, I don't even know what we're going to talk about, but let's show up and riff on some stuff. And it led us to this journey of hiring David and his team at Renaissance Messaging. And they worked through a process with us for us to be able to just extract out what is it that we're trying to co-create here? Who is it that we're trying to attract? What does that offer look like? And it was the starting point of what then evolved into what is now the Source Collective. And truthfully, we didn't actually end up using everything that David and his team ended up creating for us. But I mentioned this to David that I believe it unlocked something for both of us, the process that we went through. And that to me was extremely valuable. So a lot of times, I guess I'm saying this because a lot of times, you know, people will hire a copywriter to tell their story and to write their landing page. And while that's all great, it's very linear, it's very 3D, it's very non-attractive. Because it's so rooted in this idea of like, how can I manipulate the words to be able to close the deal? As opposed to how can I truly be something that I'm speaking out into the world? And just by being, I attract everything that I desire, not just clients, but everything. And we dove into all of these conversations today. I'm going to be honest. It was probably my favorite conversation on my podcast to date. Because it did kind of bounce around a little bit, but it actually got to the root of both of us really speaking out loud, the desire to have it all. And then the realization that we actually do already, but we are high achievers and we're, you know, he referenced it as his team calls him the pinball. And he says, yes, I'm the pinball wizard, right? We're making magic all day. And it's just such a fun conversation. So if you enjoy the creative process and talking through things and how you can actually take your story to be able to inspire, to attract, to elevate others, to create impact in this world, to create change in this world, then I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. And also, if you aspire to write a song about your life, you're going to want to listen to this one as well, because we actually dove quite deep into that and a retreat that David does. And actually, he walked me through a few questions and the exercises of what my song of my life would be. So if you're curious about that, let's go ahead and give this one a listen. All right, we're live. Mr. David Muntner, what's going on, brother?
Hello, I feel very alive.
Me too, man. So you are my second two-time guest on the podcast now. So
well, they do say first something. They do say first is the worst and second's the best.
Second is the best. So does that mean that we can never do a third, or is there?
No, it just means we gotta, you know, grow out that chest hair for the third one.
Okay, well, we're setting the standard high right from the start here. This is going to be a very authentic conversation. I know you and I were jamming a bit before we hopped on, and we were saying that, or I was telling you that, you know, the follow-up interviews that I like to do with people as a part of the theme of this podcast is kind of like an update. Where are things at since we last chatted for you? And I know last time you and I talked, you actually asked me the same thing. You were like, so what's going on? And I was like, oh man, you got to hear. It's like 6 months of intense, deep dive, spiritual awakening. And then you made the suggestion is like, well, you want to just hop on a call and we'll record it and we'll just talk through that and see what's evolved and what may be a little cloudy still and where we can evolve this too. So I think it's going to be fun.
I think for you, it's cloudy with a chance of meatballs.
Cloudy with a chance of meatballs. I want to say I've seen that, but I can't remember it right now. Oh no, I do. Yeah. It's been a while since I watched that one. Yeah. That's a gooder though. Put that one on for the kids tonight. Anyways, I digress. So you were going to tell me something though before we hopped on. You want to maybe?
Well, it was just something not related to anything, but also related to everything. And just the term energized, for whatever reason, we don't necessarily connect energized with like healthy energy and how everything is energy. And they say that the person sometimes with the most energy is the one that controls the frame or controls the room. And just realizing that you and I both have been on a journey to clean out our energy.
Yeah.
And so let go of what doesn't serve us and what does. And so it's like kind of we're becoming energized with the right energy. In a way, everybody is energized. They're just, some people are energized with heaviness. That we were just talking about energy.
Yeah.
We're going to keep talking about energy, I'm sure.
We'll keep talking about energy. And I think, you know, this is how our conversations will just flow, man. But when we first hopped on, you were saying how you were talking to your team at Renaissance Messaging as well. And they were saying how you were a pinball today.
And you no, not today. They were a pinball. I'm a pinball all the time is what they said. They just, yeah.
Just a generalized statement of you are a pinball. I am a
human pinball. Yes.
Yeah. And you framed it as, yes, I'm a pinball wizard, right? It's you make magic happen. I guess there's no other way to put it.
Chaos magic, baby.
And that's actually something interesting, too, that I think we can riff on a bit here, too, because naturally, I think when I think about positioning and messaging and attraction and magnetizing and all of these words, these energy related words, there's a part of me that just deep down inside feels like I actually get energy by having multiple things going on, you know, like right now, just to give a quick summary, I've got the Source Collective that Danielle and I co-created that you started with us on that journey and kind of, you know, crack the nut open on a few things that then unveiled themselves over the last 4 or 5 months, which we'll dig into. I just launched a retreat that I'm going to be doing here in a month. Yeah. Locally. Yeah, and that came about just very naturally as well. It was just kind of like a good friendship with a neighbor, and then we started jumping in the river and doing cold plunges, and then we recorded it and put up a YouTube channel, and then we were like, let's do a retreat. We'd do it ourselves anyway, so may as well invite some people. And that's a second thing, and then I've got some one-on-one clients that I work with as like a fractional chief growth officer, chief marketing officer. And then my wife and I have an agency and we're moving our family to Costa Rica in August and we're enrolling the kids in school. And like,
Trevor, it feels like I'm finally rubbing off on you.
Right? It's like pinball wizard, brother.
Yeah, there you go.
But I guess I say that out loud because I feel calm in that state, even though there's times when I have to check myself every once in a while too and go, wait a second, are you really? Because you're starting to slip down the path of working late into the evenings and sitting down for 3 hours on a weekend. And there's almost an obsession that comes with it that I have to catch myself and go, you know, you should probably stop and breathe right now and be present in the backyard and go to the park with your kids. And I just say that out loud because that's what goes through my head when I think about all of this stuff that we're going to be referencing of like, how do you communicate your vision, your mission, your purpose into the world that attracts the people that you want into your world and do it in a way that's truly in alignment with who you actually are.
That's what comes to mind. I love that. And Yannick Silver, who you may know somewhat and some people may know who are listening, he had recommended a book to me called Messy.
Mm.
Just because he's like, you sound messy to me, but in all the right ways.
Interesting. You know,
and then they talk about how like the healthiest ecosystems are the ones with the most diversity, the ones that may look messy on the outside, but in fact, there's just a vibrance in a way, vibrancy. So that's kind of, I think, for you, where you're getting this energy and momentum from all these things. And for me, the reason that actually happened, because I'm on a similar way, was being in this band back in the day, where at certain points I was like orchestrating things and having it happen. But like with the band, there's like a release cycle, and it's almost like you work on a song and then you have to wait like a month or two to release the next one. And at the time I was like, music is my life. This band is my life. But then I'm like, what is my life when there's no release schedule? And then that was when I just started to put other things in place, because I was becoming annoying and obsessive to the people around me, because I was like wanting to drive everything. And what I found was healthy for me was having multiple things, so I could be a little bit nutso, but only for like a period of time. And then things move forwards and you're nutso in another area. And I think that's you. You're just a very energetic person. And can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah, please do.
How is it going driving the ships forwards? You know, do you have, cause the check-in I like to do, you know, and I like people to do for me and all this stuff is like, are you making progress? Do you have momentum? Cause even if it's a little bit of momentum, that's great. The thing, to check is in all these little pieces of the puzzle, are there any areas where they're losing momentum? Because then that tends to mean like atrophy. And it's that thing of like, if it's not growing, it's dying. Which is, you know, there's that analogy about like a tree that's growing, and like if it's a dead limb, you want to cut it because otherwise there's less energy going to the rest of the tree. And so, you know, it's the pruning exercise, which I need to do more of myself, which is why I'm saying it. But I'm wondering how the momentum's going.
No, I love that analogy that you just made and the pruning side of it, of how the tree actually will grow greater if you just trim back a few pieces and even cut a couple limbs off. Like, don't need that one no more. Even if it's not dead, we're just going to still cut it off because then this will grow.
Yeah, it's kind of, this is just because I like to grow these analogies. It's like it's an apple tree and there's like one pretty much dead branch, but it has a little apple on it. And you're like, I still want that one shitty little apple, so I'm going to keep the branch. But in fact, you cut off that tree, then the other branch grows like 10 more apples that are much healthier, but it's scary to cut the branch.
That's grounding, man. So what I was going to answer with was, this has been the journey for me for the last 6 months, to be honest, in the evolution of what eventually became what is the Source Collective. So it was an internal conversation for me where I was saying, there's all these things, and in fact, I've got the graphic here. I'm not going to pull it up on the screen, but I'll just reference it. So I started thinking about all the things in my life, not just businesses, not just products and offers and all that kind of stuff, because that's what the entrepreneur in me defaults to. That's an easy one to explain. It's like, yeah, this one's going great. Oh, that one's struggling a bit, but it's still got momentum. It's like, okay, sure. But I'm thinking like my health, my self-care, my fitness, my community and social, my parenting, my relationship, my mindfulness with myself, my business, my finances, my impact, my influence, all of those things. And I'm looking at this diagram that I created that has all of these bubbles. And when you look at it, it's kind of like the conversation we started with, which is, it's overwhelming to the average person. But my question that I was putting to the universe back in September was, can I have it all? Like, is it even possible, or do I need to sacrifice that in order to get this? And that was my big pondering question when we were working together in September and we were trying to figure out, like, what is this thing that allows me to make sure that my business is in alignment with my self-care, that's in alignment with me prioritizing my relationship, which is in alignment with, if I don't want to do shit for 5 days because I want to just go hang with my kids, that I can still do that. That was the thing I was seeking. And I'm still on the journey, but I'm way further ahead than I was 6 months ago. And I know that's part of what we'll kind of dig into here. So I think that kind of addresses the question that you're asking, which is, do I feel like it's all working and I have momentum. Yes and no. Like, some of the pieces have been sacrificed recently. Most notably more on the personal side with relationship and just around with the kids and stuff. I feel like I've spent too much time on the business. And I just became self-aware to it this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You
really
love self-aware,
where I really paid attention to it.
What happened?
I got called out. I got called out by Danielle.
Yeah.
And my wife.
Oh, nice.
And it was really,
It's a party, but you weren't invited to it. It's good.
Yeah. Well, and I'll just speak vulnerably and honestly about it, man. It was, I got called, and let me rephrase that. I didn't get called out. I got called up. I got called up because it wasn't you suck at all these things. It was this, and this, you know, this business that you're creating, this alignments of ensuring that you can easily transition into Costa Rica and build this life that you've always dreamed of. You're doing exceptional at that, but you're still sacrificing these other things here. You're average in those. You're average in your presence with your kids. You're average in your connection and your relationship. And it's not an easy pill to swallow when you get that feedback, you know? But
well, it's also because then you're thinking of your progress and you're like, is this bittersweet progress?
Yeah.
And by the way, that feeling sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have thoughts on that, but
yeah. Well, I'll just say one more thing. It was these moments, which is why it's always perfectly divinely timed that you and I are talking, having this conversation even too. But so my default initially is kind of like, well, that kind of hurts to hear that. And then a little bit of like, well, you know, defensiveness and frustration and that type of thing. And then a grounding of like, oh shit, they're kind of right, you know? And then I default back to what my seeking from the start was, which was, why can't I have everything? How can I have everything? And I'm still on this journey. And I will solve it. And I ultimately believe I know the answer too. It's to just truly follow what's on my heart and make sure that I'm making time for what's important, you know, which is taking care of me, but then also just being present with those things that are around me in those concentric circles and giving them my focused energy, which is plentiful. Like we said, it's limitless. It really is. I've long thought that it was limited, but I really do believe that it's limitless. And that's, I think, an important piece that I believe you understand. Is some people might look at you and go, oh man, that guy's all over the place and there's only so much to give. And you're like, no man, I'm just like, I radiate energy. And when I need more, I crave more. And I resonate with that. That's how I feel. What were your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, this is good. And I have been called out by, my partner recently in a similar fashion. So another thing, I'm going to, you know, tap into three different pieces here and we'll get to some juicy stuff. So I was just talking to an individual and it was kind of in a coaching capacity and they were stuck. This person was kind of a little stuck and talking about how I should get to this level by now and I have all of this expertise but it's not working because of this or this, and you know, it's fine. But then they were like, when we were even scheduling another call, it was like, well, I can't do that call because my kids, but you know, then business, but then I'll do the business. I'll do this. But it was like, there was already a dichotomy in their head of like, the kids are ruining business and business is ruining the kids. Like, so that's a very common paradigm. That is a shitty paradigm. Like, I always like to be like, in the same way with the pinball thing, I'm like, pinball wizard, baby. And like with the paradigm of like business or like, it's just, I believe you can have it all. Like my theme for this year is coalescence, where it's like all these things coming together. But what does that mean? So
I love that.
Gotta give credit where credit's due. My friend Denise Gosnell, who's creating this or has created this methodology called the vacation effect. We've been working together a little bit, and a lot of it has to do with there's a story that like once you're really successful as an entrepreneur and you've grown your business, then you can finally take that vacation you've always wanted. And what ends up happening is you're actually creating a hamster wheel. And sometimes it's a bigger hamster wheel, but it's still a hamster wheel. And you forget, you know, I say like when you're creating a business, you're either creating a prison or you're creating a castle. And so then it becomes like you're better off actually creating these unreasonable rules for yourself at first, and then having like the ecosystem of the organization grow around that. Because otherwise, you know, the roots are just formed with you. And so it's like if you're used to being stressed, which you've talked about a bunch before, how like, you know, you and I both have a pattern of workaholism that we're like unlearning, where it's, you know, together in
totally.
A way.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you create these rules to have more spaciousness and freedom? So the experiment that I've been slowly but steadily starting is not having calls on Mondays and Fridays. And the reason for that is spaciousness. And they even say like you having openness to receive is when you actually receive things, because there's a spot for it. If everything's so filled up and connected, there's no space to receive and there's no space to be present. You know, you were mentioning with you and your family, it's like you're doing all the right things with the one exception of you haven't given yourself space to be present. Because uh-huh. when you're present, you're naturally aware of all the different things.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And
the last point here is I've been starting to not have calls on Mondays and Fridays. And literally just this past Monday, like I was on a plane, but I didn't have a call, and there was spaciousness in that day. And I just took that time to journal and think like, what do I want to receive, whatever else? And then they say, you know, when you're aligned, the universe works quickly. Like I got off the plane. I had gotten two messages on the plane for these new opportunities that weeks ago I was struggling to like create them. And then it's like they found me because I was the antenna. I was like the right antenna finally to like receive it. So anyway, just wanted to express that because it's fresh in my head.
That's, yeah, I can totally relate to that. It really does speak about the vibration side of things and the frequency. And I know in part of my journey in the last 6 months, I had to surrender to the idea that less was actually more. And in a specific way, what I mean is when we were working together in September, and then I left my...
Executive. I just keep thinking of that Green Day song, Wake Me Up When September Ends.
Yeah, no, I got it in my head. But yeah, so rolling into October, isn't that a song too? It's got to be a rock song.
Probably.
Rolling into
yeah.
October. Mm-hmm. But I left my executive role with the company, which basically cleared my calendar pretty much of internal meetings, which was where part of some of that angst was coming from. I defaulted immediately back to filling my calendar up again. I was like, well, look at all this free time. What should I do now? You know, it's like, well, maybe I'll just go get a couple clients that I want to work with on the side here. And oh, there's a program. Maybe join that mastermind. Oh, go do this. And it took me about 2 weeks before I caught myself. And it wasn't by myself. You know, I had lots of support and feedback loops saying, you sure you want to do that? Are you sure you want to do that? And I had, it didn't take long where I was like, no, I don't really want to do that. But then I had to sit and do a whole lot of nothing for like 6 weeks through like the second week of November and through December. And it was the most uncomfortable shit I've ever been through, man, as a business builder, as an entrepreneur, because it was the opposite. It was the unlearning of what I believed to be true. But it was the greatest thing that I ever did. And now I'm back in this, you know, because it goes through cycles here too. I feel like I'm at a point right now where I'm having that moments of, I think I really need to slow down. And that doesn't mean to stop everything, but maybe it is to create those hard borderlines of no meetings on Mondays and no meetings on Fridays. I made a note about that because I actually created an intention to do that about a month ago. And then I cleared my Mondays and Fridays, and then I creeped a meeting in here and I creeped a meeting in there. And before you know it, you got 2-3 hours on both of those days. And there goes all of your good intention. You're back in the same spot. So you just reminded me of that. And yeah, I'm going to go take action on that right after this call. Create the space, right?
Yeah. Well, there's the thought of like you just having one call in your, like, do the role play right now. Just imagine you wake up tomorrow and you have a completely free calendar. There's nothing. And like, that's where I need sleep Like that's my, like I'm excited for tomorrow, Saturday, for me to sleep in because I have not been sleeping in. So you have that spacious day, tastes so good, you know. Just imagine having one call, one business call on it, one important business call. But it's just one, it's just 30 minutes. And it's at like 3 p.m. Okay, just like, you know, one day completely spacious, nothing. One day there's a 30-minute important business call. I don't know about you, but for me, like it's night and day, even if it's just 30 minutes. And that, and like my brain knowing me and being that active pinball and pinball wizard, having the days of complete cleansing is very critical. And I think you and I are similar in that way. And that may, you know, may be a nice thing.
I think it grounds the creative process too. Like the download of the creative process, I believe needs to happen in that quiet space. And to what you were saying before though, too, of being that like, you know, beacon, that signal that attracts, and where you might've been trying to think of the next thing, like who do I need to email in order to keep moving this deal forward? And instead you actually take time to journal it and you envision it. And then you believe that it's actually already happened because it has, or whatever does happen is actually meant to be. And you surrender to that. You start to get into a flow state that's, when you're in it, you're like, I don't want anything in life to be anything but this. And then when you're not in it, you're trying to get back to it. And I know my 3D self, my intellectual self wants to think that I can reverse engineer it. And I don't want to say hack my way to it, but a little bit of that. It's like, I feel like I can hack my way into a flow state instead of actually just surrendering and being in flow state, being.
Yeah. I mean, hack is just a paradigm. Like if I am to hack hacking for a second, like it has a bad rap right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the connotation around hacking is that you're skipping steps, and it sometimes even hacking, like hackers, you think of viruses and computer nonsense, and it doesn't really have a very positive, it maybe was cool. Hacking was cool in like 2000 or something. And then now it's kind of like, oh, that's overplayed. And so because skipping steps, another way of putting it is just like embracing the flow.
Mm.
And it's like an intention flow. Cause that's technically you are hacking the system, but because you're embracing this new life. But you're going to get what you want faster. So,
yeah, it's a much healthier approach to it. And it's almost like scientifically even, it just makes sense. But intellectually, people, I shouldn't say people, but I believe, I'll just speak in the first person. I believe sometimes that slowing down means like feels like I'm not making progress. And while I don't completely believe that to be true, I know it's still here. Like, what are you doing slowing down right now? Why are you enjoying yourself and actually relaxing? You should be creating. You're a creator. I'd actually like to we're going all over the place with this conversation, man, but this is so good. I'd like to ask you a question about the creative process of like songwriting and creating music, right? Because you were telling me, you know, you saw that behind there. You're like, dude, are you coming to the retreat in Hawaii? And I gave you an honest answer, which is, I'd love to.
Which is no.
Yeah, which is no, I won't be.
Yeah.
But for valid reason, just like we kind of summarized here, which is we're moving our family to Costa Rica and it's only a couple weeks later. It's just, I'd love to be there, but it's not going to happen. But what does that look like when you're trying to guide people through that process? Because I'm sure it's related to what we're talking about here, right? It's like, you could give them the manual on like, here's how you write a song and this is how you sit down and you're going to be done in 4 hours. I've hacked the process. Or I'm sure there's more to it. Do you want to speak through that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. I don't, there's that thought of the way in which you do one thing is the way in which you do anything. And when it comes to songwriting, you know, I'll share right now the structure I've created. I mean, I haven't created the structure I've emulated for songwriting, which is not, it's not my structure. It's just a verse, a chorus, a verse, a chorus, a bridge, a chorus is a general flow. Mm-hmm. What you do in that structure is your DNA infused in a thing. So I'll just talk about songs for a second. Like the way we have it is you choosing your message. Like what is the message or feeling that you want the listener to experience? So this is specifically for like a singer songwriter type song. It's not like if it's like a techno dance song or something, like you don't need you kind of a drop or something, but it's more about the vibe, the movement. This is more like a singer telling a story. And in that regard, we're looking for like, what is that one message? We call the retreat the song of your life. So it's like, what is that one lesson you've learned that you know better than most people? Like you walk into a room, you're on a bus or something or somewhere else, you're on a plane. You are probably the person that knows this lesson better than most people in that room. What is that lesson? And because that's a nice starting point for a song. For you, because it's like it's a theme message, and then we couple that with a story. Like, what is the story you want to tell? Who is the audience? And so we're getting these little pieces, and we're peppering them into this structure, which is verse, chorus. You know, when it comes to the verse, it's more so you're like building anticipation. This is my interpretation here. Then you have the chorus, which is this is like hitting someone over the face with like this is the thing, you know. But sometimes it's fun for it to be this is the thing, but it's not what you expect it. I just wrote a song over the weekend. And right now, at least the chorus is like, why won't you take your own advice? Which is just kind of fun because it can be put in so many different areas. And it's like, for me, it's a nice little reminder of like how hypocritical I am. And then, but also, you know, we're all fucking hypocrites, so that's fun. But yeah, then verse two, you're kind of in a way developing the story you started. And then, you know, I come, of course, verse two is like, going deeper on that theme. So it's more of a slide. And then the bridge is kind of, in my perspective, is it's a little bit of a departure, a refresher. And then you jump back in and it reinforces that final chorus. So that's kind of how I break down a song in writing it. But it's, you know, sometimes like what we found with this retreat in the song of your life is that, oh man, this is wild, right? This one woman who was in the retreat, she's been working on all these different songs, whatever else. And she was like, you know, I'm good at writing a verse, I'm good at writing a chorus, but I suck at writing the bridge. I can never write a bridge to the song, right? But then when we were going deep into her life, it was like she had this past, but then needed a bridge basically to the future. And it was like she couldn't connect the dots. And it was just kind of fun to see like how you do one thing is how you do everything. And then another dude, he was like, I can never write a chorus. He's like, I can do the verse all day, but I can't. And he was the one who wrote the most memorable chorus. It was just he didn't believe he could. He didn't believe that there was a theme that tied everything together. So those are just two examples, but it's hopefully this is somewhat answering your question.
It is, man. And I don't know if you can see, but I'm taking feverish notes here because I'm already starting my journey of writing the song of my life. I love it. When he asked that question... how did you phrase it again? What is the one thing?
What is the one lesson you know that most people don't know? And then with music, people remember a melody better than they remember just words. So there's a power to what do I want? What's the seed I want to plant in someone's mind even long after I'm dead? Like, what is the legacy message there? Yeah.
Yep. And it's, so when you said that, I thought to myself, I wonder if he's going to ask me that question. What would my answer be? And then you were talking and I was literally thinking about that. I was listening to you too, because I'm a...
Yeah, you can do both. You're always splitting. But yes, obviously this is the next question, which is, Trevor, what is that lesson? I want to hear it.
Yeah, you prompted me on that and it got me thinking. And it took a few seconds for it to really land, because the first thought that comes to my mind, and I'm sure everybody that's watching this might be able to relate, is like, do I know anything that nobody else knows? And that's just limited belief, mindset, fear-based childhood trauma stuff that we all get to work through. And it never goes away, but I think I'll just say aloud that I'm able to snap out of that much, much faster now. It still creeps up, but then I'm like, of course I do. Of course I've experienced something that nobody has, because it's my experience. But the answer to me was really revolved around what my message has evolved too since we last worked together even too, which was I am a conscious creator. And then the story around that actually didn't really download to me fully until about a month ago when I interviewed Christine McAllister, who I'll give you the condensed story, but she showed up on my LinkedIn feed one day, not randomly, on purpose. And she had shared a photo of her exposed pregnant belly with her husband's arms around her and stuff. And she told a story about how she lost her daughter to preterm stillbirth in like 2015 or something like that. And then she explained the whole story of how far along she was and how it like grounded her in her purpose and that type of thing. And I don't know if you know, but Shar and I also lost the daughter around the same time and about the same term as well. And so I just commented on her post and said, hey, you know, it takes a lot of bravery to share this out loud. You know, really proud of you. I share a similar experience. And it resulted in some conversations back and forth. And then I interviewed her on the podcast a week later. And we titled it Connection Through Loss. And what's transpired since then has been pretty amazing. But the thing that unlocked for me in that interview was that I believe that I had a hand in actually creating that loss. And it was through a series of reflections of realizing what was going on in my life and then, you know, just seeing how that was connected. And then it hit me in that moment. I was like, holy shit, if I have the power to create that, the greatest pain that I would have never actually wished on myself, I also have the ability to create bliss and everything that I could ever possibly desire. So it was a huge moment of you are the conscious creator of everything in your life, all the pain and all the bliss and everything in between. So which one do you choose? And that's starting to feel like that thing that I have a personal experience. I'm not the only one that's ever gone through loss and had that moments of, you know, your pain becoming your purpose. But it was my experience. So of course it is. I am the only one that's experienced it because it was my experience, right? That's what come to mind, man. Do I have a good foundation to write a song?
Yes.
All right. Well, I can't wait to go to a retreat. Not the next one, but possibly
2 years. The next one. Yeah, we'll see you there. Yeah. The following September.
Yeah. Crazy, man. It's
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Why do you want to have it all?
It's a good question. Like my default answer is I feel like anything less is a wasted life. It feels like why wouldn't a person want to feel this ultimate enlightenment? And
is having it all mean enlightenment? Are they the same thing?
I think so. So this is interesting you bring that up too, and this ties very tightly into your business side of things on what you do, is what is the meaning of a word? What is our attachment to the meaning of that word? If I put a word in front of me and you and I define it, you might align with that, but you might say, yeah, but it also means this. And we're both right. So
Well, my girlfriend at one point, she was sharing she's like, I wanted to have it all, but then I did, and it meant all the fucking pain of the universe.
Mm.
And then it's like, well, okay, that's great. If you want it all, good for you.
I think my journey right now is to be grounded in the fact that I actually do have it all already. You know what I mean?
I would agree.
Yeah. Because I'll give you an example, like the Costa Rica thing. You're familiar with what our journey's been on that somewhat, right? Like it's been a dream, a goal. It didn't just happen last year. It was like 2007. I read this book right here, this Unlikely Destinations, The Lonely Planet Story, which is like an autobiography by the couple that started the little travel guide books, right? And
I mean, I know you're sharing all this piece, but I am actually curious, what was your takeaway when you read that book in 2007? Like, why Costa Rica?
It wasn't Costa Rica back then. What my takeaway was back then was a couple that ventured across lands that were just completely foreign, because there wasn't the internet. If they were talking about it on the news, it was very briefly if there was a war in another country. But, you know, they went from UK to Afghanistan to Southeast Asia to Australia and then created this company and then had kids and then brought their kids on their adventures. Like they had their 5-year-old on an Everest hike, right? Up to base camp in Everest. And I just remembered reading that and saying, that life right there, that's the life that I want. And then I just recorded a podcast episode and published it last week about this, actually, Dave. And I was speaking about all of the things that were intentional and they were committed action pieces. You know, even Sharmila and I's wedding song is You and Me by Dave Matthews, which basically speaks to that. It's like, you and me forever, we can do anything, baby. And then it speaks about bringing your kids with you and setting sail and letting them go. And like, so it's all been a part of a bigger vision, just one piece at a time to get us to there. I'm not sure what that, I know you asked that.
I was just curious. But yes, you were kind of, you know, sharing about your journey at this point and the fact that it's, you know, started with the 2007 download. But yeah, the intentionality right now of you going to Costa Rica.
Yeah, Costa Rica just, I forget exactly how Costa Rica came up. I honestly don't even know. I think it was 2 years ago when somebody just mentioned, oh, you know what it was? I got connected to somebody that was within our company that happened to be there and just started talking to him and then started exploring it and looking at schools. And then found some schools down in that area.
They have really good schools of fish there.
Schools of fish and educational schools in Costa Rica. And that was probably the piece that hooked me to say, I believe it's Costa Rica. I believe that's the place. And we found one school in particular, and you'll appreciate this, man, it's called Tide Academy. And Tide Academy, they have a 24-minute documentary that is just interviews with the teachers and the parents and the students and stuff, all variety of ages because they're like K to 12. And at about the 20-minute mark, one of the dads gets on camera. And his part was only about 15 seconds where he was speaking about being able to bring his skill set and gifts, which is as a filmmaker and a photographer, a creative, into the extracurriculars and providing the opportunity for the students to be able to do filmmaking class after school. And then he said, this entire documentary was shot and is being shot by fourth graders. And that was the piece where I was like, that's the school, because it was embracing the creative side. And who knows, maybe I've reflected on this a little bit and thinking like, am I being selfish by wanting my kids to go to a place where they can really express their creativity? And I thought, no, like every kid is born creative. Society is what sucks it out of them and says, you need to go down this path. I think we're all creative. Like, let me ask you this question really quickly. Do you believe everybody could create the song of their life?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, on the retreat, we had 10 people there the last time and 5 of them were seasoned musicians and 5 of them had never touched an instrument or sang ever.
Hmm.
And everybody wrote a song. And performed it at the end.
Sang it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
No one was safe. It was great. I mean, but it was such a safe container.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know, I'll share what we did at the very beginning because it was fun. Like we, at the first day before doing anything with songs, we just gave every person in the circle a random object. Like one person got a can of Spam. Another person got bubblegum.
Oh, which is popular in Hawaii too. That's easy to find.
It was very easy to find.
Yeah.
And then, you know, another person had gotten WD-40. And so it was just, and people were like, why do I have these items? And we're like, okay, great. So everybody has 30 minutes to write a jingle and sing it. And that was it. And then every single person did that. And that was the thing that unlocked confidence. Cause it was like, well, if I could do this in 30 minutes, I could do a song in 3 days or 4 days. So I do believe that everyone has greater creativity than they give themselves credit for, greater potential. And certainly in music, that's a fun one.
Yeah, I love that, man. I believe I was on the path to continuing the answer to my own question that I was presenting to myself, and then I got sidetracked, and then I remembered it, and then I got sidetracked again by asking you a question.
Well, in the pinball machine, you know, you were almost going to get to that little thing at the top that would have given you the most points, but then you hit, and we're trying to hit it again. We're going to get it up there.
Yeah, we're smacking it up there. Yeah, I think. Oh, I remember what it was. It was you asked me the question of why do I believe I need to have it all, and then. Naturally.
And then
I thought, well, maybe I do already. And I'm saying that with the maybe in front of it, because in moments of reflection and actually sitting and meditating or journaling, and I'm thinking about this future visioning and even writing out what that looks like my perfect day, I'm reminding myself and I'm starting to ground in the idea of like, wait a second, I'm actually kind of living it already. Yeah, maybe. It's raining out here and it's 35 degrees Celsius or 100 in Fahrenheit in Costa Rica, but that's just one variable on the whole picture of, do I have it all? You know, I'm in a safe home. It's not a house. It's a home. We've made it a home. We got two beautiful, healthy kids. We do live in a paradise area. It just happens to be in Canada where it's cold 8 months of the year, but I do. And I think it's reminding myself of that constantly is what I strive for, work towards.
Yeah. So one thing I'd like to ask that would be fun diving in our remaining like five or so minutes here is just related to the Source Collective. And I'm wondering if there's any, my uncle says opinions are like assholes and everyone has at least one of them. So, you know, I have a perspective, but I'd like to kind of dive in. And is there any area that where you'd like any support perspective? Like it'd be fun to kind of, you know, maybe crack the nut on something else. Like I'd say maybe where is your greatest struggle right now in the Source Collective? That's a fun question. Yeah.
Well, the Source Collective was the evolution of everything we just discussed, of course, but then also the connection that I have with Danielle, as you know, and the whole backstory with that of me sourcing a mindset mentor at the time, which is what I believed I needed in a program like 3.5 years ago. And then us co-creating what it actually became, which one of the things that Danielle expressed to me very early on in that process, and I know you were involved with the beginning parts of that, was this container already exists. It's incredible. It's changing people's lives. It's elevating people around the planet. You just get to believe it. And when you do, and you actually exude that energy, they will just, it's that beacon you were talking about, right? They show up. They will show up. When you believe it and embody it, they will show up. And the way that, well, here, let me read this out to you and you tell me if what I just said there is translated into these words, because I have a landing page that's still kind of in progress to be that thing that can be found by the universe and people without me having to like talk to people. So the Source Collective, truth transcends illusion. The Source Collective exists to support you in your evolution. It is a soul journey with your soul tribe to meet the greatest version of you that already exists, so you can easily attain everything you desire in life. When you surrender to what is and embody your higher self, you create a true manifestation of limitless possibilities and abundance. Begin the journey here. And then it's one button. To me, that's what it is right now. And my old version of Trevor wants to create a pains, gains, benefit statement structure to it of, are you experiencing this? Would you like to experience that? Here's what you'll get. Benefit, benefit, benefit. And then there's a part of me that's fighting that and saying, nope, it doesn't need that. It doesn't need that. If I'm to believe what Danielle has very confidently said to me, and I'll say, I have experience. So this isn't ethereal, like, oh, I think, like, no, I've experienced it. And you know what I'm talking about, because you even said it about on the plane, like, you've experienced it.
Yeah, but then you second guessed it immediately after.
Well, that was just, you know, irony. It wasn't exactly, is that what you mean? Yeah. Yeah, of course. But that, I think that's part of the struggle that I'm referring to there of, you know, surrender to what is, regardless of whether it's what you wanted or what you didn't want. And, you know, Jordan Peterson talked about this on a Joe Rogan interview. He's like, the hell do you know about what you want? Like, you think you know what you want, but your path is already written. Now it's whether or not you will actually embrace it, see the opportunities, and seize them.
Yeah. I liked the messaging you put for that landing page.
Yeah.
I think it's mysterious, ambiguous, but it also talks about the right thing. And so you are connecting to the individuals that don't need to know about pain or gains, but are resonating on that level. Like, that's when you talk about the power of words, you know, it's, that's a transmission. And I'm proud of you for releasing this. It's great.
Yeah, man. And the other piece I think that ties into it is, okay, it's a landing page. So somebody randomly comes across it and maybe they're like a F yes, or they're a F no, or there's something in between. I really believe, and I didn't always believe this, that how I actually show up every single day, not just when people are watching, but when people are not watching, will actually also contribute to that attraction. And the language that I'm using around what we talked about earlier, which is, I truly believe that I am the conscious creator of everything in my life, the pain and the bliss and everything in between. So then the choice is now, how do I choose to show up to create either side of that spectrum? That's also a piece of the messaging. It's not just the landing page. It's like, how do I show up? And then not only that, but how do I share that with the world? Because while I do believe in the idea of just energetically putting it out into the universe, like law of attraction, where it's like you put it into the universe and it returns, I also am a strong believer in committed action. Like, and create content and put it out, and those that will find you will be there because you actually put the signal out for them to find. Does that land?
Yeah, that lands on my page. I would say with the landing page, this is just a suggestion. Not necessary, but it's fun sometimes to consider it. Like, you know, I think there's just text on this page, or is there kind of like a video of you on the page? And the thought process would be, when you're present and you're in the right state to embody this group, that would be when I would shoot a very quick video where you're actually embodying, and it's less even about the words that you're communicating, but more about your state, because then likely people who are, you know, like attracts like, that may be another piece of bringing in the right individuals. Also, you're good on camera.
Thanks, man. But that's a great suggestion though, too, because my head was going towards, should I put a video on here? But then I was kind of defaulting to, well, should I speak about like what they're going to get? Or should I do exactly what you just said, which is just flip that camera on and just be authentically true? And know that some people, it may not be ready for this, and others, it'll be the thing that actually makes them go. And I've heard this before too, man. And that's, I'm glad that you said that out loud, because I've had people communicate to me that just my presence is what ultimately had them enroll in something, you know? It's like, yeah, sure. You know, the landing page looked good, and I definitely want to do this. That sounds cool. And you know, if you guys are going to handle that for me, that sounds great. But it was your presence, man. You know, I had 7 other choices to make, but your presence is what made me move.
You know what I really like about that?
It just reminded me of it. Yeah.
Yeah. What I really like about that, because that's the very start of this conversation. In my time, it's 3:33. I always like those different. So we started out with you basically being called up when it comes to not being present. And then you're also talking about how you being present and your presence is what is enrolling other people. And so there may be some, you know, the way in which you do one thing is the way in which you do everything. And that you being present to your family, yourself, is actually enhancing your presence, which then would enhance the presence on camera even to bring in the right people. Food for thought.
No, you just nailed it. I think that's the piece that lands the most for me from this conversation. I think anybody else listening and watching this too, because you just basically spelled out the idea that the thing that I desire actually exists if I just do it myself. I become the attraction if I actually am the thing that I'm trying to attract. So every time I'm out of integrity with that, I attract the opposite, or at least not the full manifestation of that, right? There's a incongruency there.
Yeah. Man. Cool. Well, it was fun to be here.
Yeah.
You're the best.
All right. Peace out, man. No, that is good. We actually went into this conversation with probably a little bit even different intention than what we ended up creating here. But I think that's what I appreciate the most about every conversation I have with you, man, is that you are water. There's no better way to put it, is you just kind of flow wherever you need to go, and you feed off the energy and the feedback loop of what's coming at you. And that's where the magic gets created. And everybody always asks, like, well, how do you become an amazing copywriter or a songwriter or whatever? And there's no formula. It's just all of that, you know, be water, as Bruce Lee once said. Not you great. Are water to me.
Well, thank you very much. That's a high compliment.
Yes, of course. All right, man. Well, let's sign off with that. And if you want, because I will be publishing this within the next week or two here, tell people how they can connect with you and tell people more about this retreat as well, so that people are aware of its existence. The what did we call it again?
The Song of Your Life
retreat. Song of Your Life. There it is. I got it written down.
Well, I can't say no to plugging my shit, so I'm going to do it. But it's good shit. It's the good shit. So the retreat itself is September 7th to the 11th. We are looking for a few good individuals who have that spark of creativity in them and know that, you know, there's that saying, don't let the music die inside. Mm. And so it's individuals where, you know, you're kind of at that point where if you don't act now on the inspiration within writing a song, working on music, that time may pass. And what we end up doing within this retreat is, it's luxury. It's amazing. You've got fresh food. Like, literally the coconuts are picked on the property and given to you with your breakfast. Very healthy foods. But yeah, we are in a very safe, easy space, unlocking a newfound creativity. And so we apply that to songwriting, but a lot of the individuals on the retreats are applying this creativity to their life, their business, mm-hmm. their love. And so we've had some fun success stories. This was an experiment I did last year, and I've realized this is now a staple of, I'm just doing it once a year because it's fun for me. If I do it more than once a year, it's probably not going to be fun for me. Mm-hmm. So I want to keep that energy. So it's kind of like this gift I'm kind of sharing. So that's the Song of Your Life retreat. The other thing is, like, I run Renaissance Messaging, which is a boutique marketing firm, white glove all the way. And if you are listening and want a message disruptor session, one of my team members will provide that for you. That is normally a certain value. And we would be waiving that specifically if you're listening to this and you think I'm cool, because I have an ego, or if you think Trevor's cool. But yeah, so either Song of Your Life retreat or the Message Disruptor, which, if you're really amazing, maybe I'll do it for you. That would be reaching me at david@renaissancemessaging.com or going to renaissancemessaging.com and, you know, filling out that stuff. But yeah, you can hit me up directly. And my little joke is, if you don't know how to spell Renaissance, then you're not the right client.
Or know how to Google it to know how to spell it correctly, then you're definitely not the right client. I can tell everybody personally from firsthand experience of going through this process that it's unique from anything that I had ever experienced. It was the starting point that unlocked everything that I have going on right now. Naturally, there's always pieces that make up the whole. It's never one thing, but it was a big part of it, David. It really was. It was something you know, not just you, but the rest of the team too. Like everybody's comes from a different perspective and holds space differently too. That's the other thing too. I'm not even just speaking about their expertise and their background, but just energetically, each person that was there to actually help us create what we were supposed to. So that was really cool. And then the second thing I'll say too is that just like how we ended off with me having a realization of how you do one thing is how you do everything. And if we are going to attract that which we want to be, we need to be that thing. Tell everybody about your music and what you do in creating, because if you're going to go to a retreat to create the song of your life, it better be by a guy who's actually doing the work too. So speak about that, well, man, before we go.
Oh, well, I have an alter ego. His name is Davey Harris, and he's released 3 songs into the internet with another 100 or so coming. Like, my goal is to end up releasing more songs than the Beatles, just because I write songs fast.
Amazing.
So, yeah, I've just released a song last Thursday called Predictable. It's unpredictable. And got more songs coming.
Cool. I'll link all that stuff up so that people can find you. Thanks for doing this, brother. I appreciate it. Always enjoy our chats.
You're very welcome. Yeah, a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Trevor Turnbull Show. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please consider subscribing on my YouTube channel and on your favorite podcast platform and leave me a review. I'd love to hear from you. Now, until next time, remember, today is a beautiful day of opportunity. Trust that you're exactly where you're supposed to be right now. So be grateful, be curious, and be brave.